single-minded people are blessed, tremendously blessed. We saw in the first week that, no, I don't want that slide up, guys. Thank you. Yep, thanks so much. Single-minded people are blessed with having a key that opens up a door to great success in your life. And if you missed that, you need to go on the web, rockny.org, and see that message. And then last week, we looked at that single-minded people had a faith-based lifestyle. A faith-based lifestyle. Not a whole plant-based lifestyle, okay? Although I recommend it, highly recommend that. But they live, a single-minded person, according to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is pleasing him, has a whole faith lifestyle, based lifestyle. And you want to go back and look at that if you missed that last week. And you can find that at rockny.org. This week, we are going to be looking at single-minded people are blessed with tongues of wisdom. With tongues of wisdom. We want to live a life that is filled with wisdom, don't we? And James is saying here to the people that are scattered all over the Roman Empire, Jews that are scattered over the Roman Empire that have embraced the Messiah, have embraced Jesus as their Lord and Savior, he's giving them a book that is dealing with a lot of different subjects. And one of the subjects that are cycling throughout this book is the issue of wisdom. And he starts off by saying, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. But don't have him ask doubting. Have him ask in faith. Faith without doubt. A man who doubts is like the waves of the sea that is driven by the winds. They're driven all over the place. And let not that man expect to receive anything from the Lord, right? He shouldn't expect anything. He's double-minded. He's a man approaching the Lord with, I wonder if God has something for my life in this area of my life. But you don't know the motivation of your heart is really, if I don't like what he says, I'm just going to continue to do what I'm doing. That's a double-minded man. You're not going to the Lord with the attitude of, God, your way is right. You might expose that what I've been doing is wrong. Lord, I want to humble myself. I want to obey you. I want to be surrendered to you. I want to make sure that I honor you in all my ways. So we want to look at this issue of tongues of wisdom today, that we are people that are going to be blessed with tongues of wisdom. If we are truly single-minded people, then we'll have tongues of wisdom. So the question here, should we be more concerned about the destructive force of the tongue than riding in a car, the flu, or the coronavirus? What is it that we should be more concerned about? Well, let me read some things here that I think might help us. One of the safest nations on the planet to ride in a car is here in America. Isn't that wonderful? Only 37,000 deaths were reported back in 2016-17. Only 37,000 deaths. Some of you are saying, Pastor, only 37,000 deaths? Yep, only 37,000. But the good news is that most of the deaths were around the rest of the world. Only 1.25 million people died in car accidents around the world. I don't hear a lot of excitement. All right? I don't know what the deal is. All right. Now, there were 1.24 million people who died in car accidents around the world? How many people died because of wars, fighting in war and being murdered? 440,000. Now we're saying to ourselves, now wait a minute. You're saying that 1.25 million were killed in cars? And 440,000 were killed as soldiers and being murdered all around the world? Okay, now we're getting some perspective, aren't we? Okay, we're getting a little perspective here. So how about the flu? How about the flu? Well, the good news is in 2017-2018 flu season, and this was reported on September 27, 2018, by the head of the U.S. Centers for Disease Control here in America, and the Associated Press covered that, and a lot of other outlets covered it. It said that only 80,000 Americans died. Now, how many heard of that? Okay, I have one. Why didn't we hear that 80,000 people died? Maybe there's something here. Well, listen, as of yesterday, how many people had died of the coronavirus in America? 57 people died in America because of the coronavirus. As of yesterday, around the world, there's been 5,387 deaths reported. Now, could there be a whole lot more? Yeah, maybe in China, maybe there's 50,000 people that have died and they haven't been honest about it, right? We don't know. But we do know how many people have died here in America, basically. And that's 57 deaths so far here in America. What do you think? What are we being told? See, some of you are saying, well, Pastor, come on, what are you trying to say? I just want us to think. That's all I want us to think, to do is to think. Why weren't we told 80,000 deaths in a major, why wasn't the media covering it day after day after day, as thousands upon thousands of people were dying through the flu season in 2017-2018. I mean, that sounds pretty bad to me. I don't know. That sounds bad. And yet it wasn't spoken about. Well, listen, last year over 1 million children died. Well, I'm sorry, were killed. Over 1 million children were killed in the womb. All right? That sounds like a real plague, doesn't it? Okay. We have 57 deaths. We've shut down our whole economy. The suffering is going to be incredible just because of the economy being shut down. To people's lives in so many different ways, in a rippling effect down the road. Why didn't they shut down the economy with 80,000 people dying of the flu in 2017-2018? I'm just asking the questions. Just asking the questions. What was happening in the news back in 2017-2018 that the media was so busy with that they couldn't report on 80,000 people dying of the flu? Oh, I don't know. Anyway, maybe you know. Maybe you know what it is. Now, the one thing we didn't talk about yet is the tongue. Is the tongue more deadly than car accidents? Is the tongue more deadly than the flu? Is the tongue more deadly than the coronavirus? Well, I'll tell you. We're going to learn that it is. It definitely is. We need tongues of wisdom if we're not going to be walking around as a destructive force in our world. Pastor Nick nailed it. We have the opportunity to be a source of life as we speak words of truth. And that's what we want. We want our tongues to be filled with wisdom. Because if not, we're going to be part of the problem rather than the cure of the human heart, of the human spirit. James chapter 3, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers. Why not? Teachers do a lot of talking. Teachers do a lot of talking. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, what does it say? It says, listen, not many of you are teachers. And yet, there are times when many people want to have a say. They want to come and teach. They want to give a piece of their mind. They want to set people straight. And James is saying to everybody in the church that he's speaking to, he's saying, you know, I know you guys want to teach. I know you guys want to tell people. I know you want to set people straight. But let not many of you take on the role of a teacher, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. We're going to receive a serious judgment. Why? Because we speak a lot of words. Anyone who wants to take the role of telling people and taking the role of teaching them, all your words are going to someday be held up to the scrutiny of the holiness of God. And so that's what James is making sure they understand. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body, right? Well, the question then is this. When I hear, well, we can stumble in many ways, but if you don't stumble in word, you're a perfect man. That tongue has that much impact? James is isolating and identifying that this tongue, this little member in our body, has that much power over our lives? Can the tongue really take complete control of our lives? Well, that's what James is going to help us to see. It's that much of a problem when it is not under the control of the Holy Spirit. This is one part of our lives that affects us in every way, in every day. Everybody in the whole world. Boy, this is an equal opportunity virus, isn't it? The tongue. James 3:3. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. You put a bit in the horse's mouth, it clamps down on that tongue, and you're able to tell the horse, I want you to go here. And that little tongue of that big horse communicates something to the brain and says, I don't like this. We're going this way. So it has once you get control of the tongue, then that's where the body is going to go. And he's illustrating it by a horse. And I've seen this very up close and personal. I love riding horses. I had a horse growing up. And then when I was in Staten Island ministering, one of the men there at the church had bought a horse, a powerful quarter horse, and a beautiful, beautiful specimen of an animal. And he said, would you like to ride it? And I said, hey, yeah, sure, fine. So we saddled it up. And he said, well, you get first chance. And I said, wonderful. Jumped on it, you know. And I said, boy, this horse is really headstrong. And, you know, he just took right off. And I, you know, reined him in. I said, listen, I'll break your neck off if you're not going to listen to me. And he listened. And he came back and I stopped. And then my friend got on him. The horse took off and never stopped. Ran right out onto the highway, and a school bus hit the horse. My friend was miraculously spared. He was beat up, torn up, but he recovered completely. The horse was killed on impact, and he was thrown over the bus, all because he could not communicate enough to that tongue. Listen. you're headed for destruction. Now, we need to communicate to our tongues. You're headed for destruction unless you allow the Lord Jesus to rein you in. See, if you don't allow your tongue to be reined in by the Lord Jesus Christ, you are headed for destruction. You are headed to contaminate a whole lot of people around you. Not only your own life, your family's life, but everyone else around you. It's a serious thing. How about a ship? They're large, driven by fierce winds, but they're turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. So James is saying, look, it's just a little rudder on this big ship. It tells it where to go. Your tongue is telling you what to do in life. When you speak, you are affecting your world. You're affecting your life. So this tongue has to be in good working order. If it's not, you're going to be going in the wrong direction. You're going to have a major problem in your life. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. It's a little member. Oh, it's going to talk and it's going to boast about great things. See how great a forest is a little fire kindles? A little flame of fire. All of a sudden, you have hundreds of miles being burned because one little lick of fire. The tongue is a fire. A world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body. No physical virus can compare to the tongue. We not only infect our whole body with sin over and over again, but then we affect others around us and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. It is almost complicated and compounded over and over. Once I start allowing myself to take over, hell jumps in and encourages and throws gasoline on the fire and just allows your life to be burned up with your family and your job and everything around you being destroyed for the gospel. It might look good on the outside, but it's being destroyed in having an effect for the kingdom of God. Now, that is something you need to stop and take assessment of. What am I going to do with this whole tongue? The coronavirus doesn't affect everyone, but the tongue does. Just remember, we're going through this coronavirus. I have to be careful here on how I talk, because we're listening to the media 24/7, aren't we? Now, they had no time for it in 2017, 2018. No time for the flu, which killed 80,000 people. None of us remember it. None of us, 2017, 2018 just came and went. None of us, one person in the church today said, yeah, I heard about that. What was with the rest of us? Were we sleeping? So all I'm saying is this. Today, we are being focused by a media on a virus for whatever reason today, and it wasn't a couple years ago. Well, I don't want to be looking at the smoke and mirrors. I don't want to be diverted away from what really needs to be looked at. And what really needs to be looked at is my tongue. See, notice I said my tongue. I could have said your tongues, but I'm going to say my tongue. Do you think you could just say my tongue? My tongue. Let me hear it. My tongue. It's not very robust. All right. My tongue. See, now this week you're going to remember, oh boy, yeah, it's my tongue, isn't it? For every kind of beast and bird of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no man can tame the tongue. Now, who am I going to listen to? God, or am I going to listen to myself? No man can tame the tongue. Only the Lord can tame your tongue. No one else. You can't do it. We might be big, powerful people. We've tamed the horse. We've tamed all other creatures. We've tamed everything. But our own little tongue, we haven't tamed that. We can conquer the coronavirus with a promised vaccine and proper hygiene, but we cannot conquer the tongue in our own strength. We will conquer this coronavirus, and we could have done it without anything from the media. We could have done it without any shutting down of the economy or anything else. We could have gone to our sports things and every... Boy, I'm speaking heresy right now, aren't I? Some of you are saying, Pastor, this should not go on the web. People are going to look at you like someone who wears a tinfoil hat and everything. Listen, all I know is that in 2017, 2018, with 80,000 deaths for the flu, nobody thought that it was a big deal. We go in and out of flu seasons. A normal flu season, they say, is around 35, 40,000 people that die here in America. In America, we're talking. But we don't, we just say, yeah, it's the flu season, get your vaccination and whatever else. You know, people are saying, well, if we didn't shut everything down, oh my goodness, we would have had terrible, terrible deaths. Do we know that? You know, I think we're smart people. I think that as Americans, we're very smart. You know, like we wash our hands, we're careful. I hear people all the time, cover your mouth when you sneeze, you know, use your arm, whatever. But we now are under the control of the media. We're listening to the media to direct our lives physically in reference to this coronavirus. If we listen to the Bible as much as we listen to the media talk to us, man, our lives would be revolutionized. We are being totally controlled by the media at this point. Are we completely controlled by... Oh, boy, am I in trouble. Anyway, James chapter 3, 8b. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. That's our tongue. That's my tongue. It's full of deadly poison. The coronavirus isn't deadly for everyone, is it? They haven't even reported any children under 14 who have died from the coronavirus. But from the flu, last year there were children that died. Anyway, so this tongue is serious business. It is something that we need to stop and say, what is going on with my tongue, beginning in the church? What is it with my tongue in God's church? Because that's how James starts off. Let not many of you be teachers. And he's talking about in the church. Let not many of you step into the role of telling other people what they should do and how to understand the Bible and how to... Everybody, I'll tell you, everybody has a Bible study. Everybody has something that they just want to teach someone else and just say, you know, I've been studying this and I think that this is the way we should look at it. And I'll tell you something, you're going to be held accountable for every word that proceeds out of your mouth. And James has said, don't let many of you be teachers, knowing that you're going to have a stricter judgment. Every time you set yourself forth, I'm a teacher in this, I've studied this, I want to tell you about it, just remember, there's going to be a stricter judgment for you. It doesn't mean that you have to keep your mouth shut. It means, are you cautious? See, Paul said there, as we looked at 1 Corinthians, not many of you are teachers. Not many. All right. Well, with it, we bless our God and Father, and with the tongue, we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God, in the image of God, and we curse them. We're angry with them. We're disgusted with them. Oh, praise you, Lord. Oh, praise you, Lord. This guy is not, oh man, I'm so sick of him. Oh, you can't trust him. Oh, my goodness. You need to make sure that you don't get near him. And you're talking about somebody in the church. Wow. That's what our tongue can do? Bless God and then go after a brother or sister and tear them down in the church? Whoa! Man, you know what? I want to be a single-minded person who operates with a tongue of wisdom, not a tongue of foolishness. This is foolishness, blessing God, and then in the next breath, tearing somebody down. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. And I'll tell you something. I've had to deal with the issue of blessing God and then cursing someone. I've had to be honest about it and said, you're wrong. Creep, you're wrong. You need to make it right. You did wrong. That tongue is dangerous. It's going to bring destruction into the body of Christ. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter water from the same opening? If you have the Holy Spirit, if you're drinking deeply of the Holy Spirit within you, as Jesus promised in John chapter 7, out of our innermost being shall come springs of living water. And what's he speaking of? The Holy Spirit. So does the Holy Spirit bless God and then curse man? Curse your brothers and sisters? No. Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? No. Can we bear cursing if we're surrendered to the Holy Spirit? No. Thus, no spring yields both salt and fresh water. We want the life-giving words coming out of us that the source is the Spirit of God working in us. Teachers who talk a lot in the church must understand the difference between the wisdom from God and wisdom from self and Satan. Words matter. If words are coming out from yourself and not from the Spirit of God, they're going to be destructive. And when you start operating from self, guess who you've invited to jump in and encourage you and work with you? Satan. That's the way it is. Who is wise and understanding among you? I want to be one of the wise people. I want to be a wise person, and then I want a wise tongue. Let him show by his good conduct that his words are done in the meekness of wisdom. Meekness means, Lord, I don't have the truth. You have the truth. Lord, I don't know what really needs to be done. I need to stop and say, Lord, what would you want me to do in this situation according to your word, according to your revealed truth for my life? Not according to an emotion, not according to, well, I feel that this is what God wants me to do. That's bogus. What you want is to be able to say, Lord, I am humbling myself and I'm going to operate in what you have communicated to me through your word. That's the meekness of wisdom. That is an ability to solve life's problems from God's point of view. You've humbled yourself before his word, before his truth, and you've acknowledged that's what I'm going to obey. Not my feelings, not my emotions, not my desires. But if you have bitter envy, if you have bitter envy is when someone is desiring a position that someone else has. You're envious of a position or something someone else has. And you're self-seeking. You want to put yourself in a higher position. You have self-seeking in your hearts. And he's saying to them, don't desire to be a teacher. See, that's self-seeking. Either God has gifted you as a teacher, and you develop that, and the body is blessed, and your tongue is under control, and you're building up the body of Christ, or you're striving after that. You're envious of other people who have a position of teaching in the church, of people listening to them and saying, I want them to listen to me. I want to have that kind of effect. I want to tell them, well, this is my point of view that I believe the scripture is teaching. And you're seeking after it to establish yourself as someone to be listened to. Don't lie to yourself. Don't boast and lie against the truth. Don't boast and say, yes, I know a lot about the scripture. I've heard people say, oh, I know a lot about the scripture. But you're lying against the truth that God has not called you to be a teacher. Be careful when you step into the role of a teacher. Be careful. This wisdom does not descend from above, but it's earthly, sensual, and demonic. Those three things. It's earthly, it's sensual, and it's demonic. When I think of earthly, he's relating it to bitter envy. Bitter envy that your treasure here on earth is not as great as others. Whatever it is, doesn't matter. It could be a position in the church, number one. That's the primary application. Oh, they're a teacher. I want to be a teacher. James is saying, be careful. Not everyone's a teacher. You're going to have a stricter judgment in your life. Don't desire that. It might be, oh, I like their money. Oh, I like their prestige. I like their power. I wish I had that. I want that. My treasure is having money. That's where honesty comes in. Your tongue will never be brought under control until your heart is honest. Out of the abundance of the heart, the tongue wags. Oh, I mean the mouth speaks. All right? So, is your treasure having more and more money? Or more and more position? Or more and more influence? What's your treasure? What is it you value? My treasure is being popular. I want people to acknowledge me. I want to be attractive to people. I want people to take notice of me. And this can take so many different forms. But in the church, we need to seriously, as brothers and sisters in Christ, make sure we're being honest about this issue of bitter envy, of this earthly experience of laying up treasures on earth, of money, of power, of influence, of prestige. How about self-seeking? That's sensual. A self-seeking person, as James refers to, is someone who wants to satisfy their desires, their wishes, their emotions, their lusts, their fleshly desires. I will do whatever it takes to get more and more money. I want more. I'll do whatever it takes. I'm going to promote myself in order to get more money. I desire a close, immoral relationship instead of marriage. This is something that we have to help our young people in the church understand. Do we have it under control first in our own lives? Do we desire a close relationship in the context of marriage? See, I hear people saying all the time, oh, you know what? Don't worry about marriage. You have a long time. Just enjoy having relationships, dating and doing this and doing that with the opposite sex. And you know what? That's great. No, that is not great. If you are self-seeking sensually, you are going to have certain sexual desires and drives in your life. Just like you have sensual desires of wanting more position, more power. Satan comes and he tempts and says, don't you want more influence? And he adds something to it. He says, you could be such a great impact for the work of God if you would just promote yourself a little bit more. It's a lie. You don't need to promote yourself. If God gifts you, he knows how to move you into responsibility, more and more responsibility. So, but our young people are dealing with this as they look to our lives. Have we conquered this issue of self-seeking? Lord, our lives are so much of the time missed. What's going on in our hearts? I want people to notice me. I want to be attractive. And then our young people say, yeah, we have to dress a certain way. We have to be attractive a certain way. And then they come to a place where Satan says, yeah, you want a close relationship and you don't have to be married. You don't have to be married. You don't even have to be thinking of marriage. It's okay to be physically involved as long as you don't go too far. That's a big lie from the pit of hell. Big lie from the pit of hell. How about boast and lie? You know, James is saying those who boast and lie, it's demonic. Well, I'm a good person. I'm a good person. People should listen to me. I'll give what my heart tells me to give in the church. That's a deception, isn't it? Oh, you know what? Listen, I'm going to give out of the joy of my heart. I'm going to be a cheerful giver. Really? Abraham, right from the very beginning, said, you know what? I'm giving 10%. Now, why did that happen by the father of the faithful? The one who exercised faith in God, who is held up as a great illustration. So many people don't want to go back and lift him up as an illustration of what the heart should do in giving. There's a standard. I believe God provides standards for us that give us direction for our lives. And giving is one of them. I think that is a baseline, a 10%. But there are people who say, I'm going to just give what I think is best. And Satan comes right along and says, yeah, you go. And how about it's okay to dress a little risque or immodest? You know, I want people to notice me. I want to be sexy. I want to look cool. I want to look strong. I want to be handsome. I want people to notice me. And we are listening to the deceptions of demons. We want to boast about how we look. And we're lying to ourselves. Because God sees what's inside. Am I concerned about what God is seeing? Or am I more concerned about what men and women are seeing? For where envy and self-seeking exist, here he comes back to it. Where envy and self-seeking, envy, you're desiring other, what other people have, whatever it is. But in the context of this passage, it's their ability to teach, their ability to communicate God's word and say, well, I want to have that position. I want to have people noticing me. I want people to tell me how smart I am. Listen, over the past 40 some years that I've been teaching and preaching, I'm dumb. That's one thing I can really say with all the confidence in the world. I am dumb and I desperately need God's work in my life. This is not something I look back on and say, boy, was I brilliant. Wow. I go, what a battle against a dumb tongue. Unless that tongue is under the control of the Holy Spirit, I've spoken some pretty stupid things. And I've mourned over it. And God has had to work in my life. And guess what? You won't give an account for it. I will. I'm going to stand before God for the last 40 some years of talking. And I'm going to be embarrassed by some of the things that God brings up and says, did you really mean that? See, that's something that I have to know in my heart that God has called me to. And I have to be humble and say, are you ready for that type of judgment? Well, when there's envy and self-seeking, there's confusion and every evil thing. Why? Confusion and every evil. Oh, when I have envy in my heart of what somebody else has, and I am then going to try and get it, who do I invite? Evil, the personification of evil, demons are invited to come and give their two cents on how I can do it. And what is the end result? Confusion and chaos. But the wisdom that is first above, from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Wow, that's beautiful, isn't it? It's pure. I'm desiring God's wisdom. That only comes from his word. It doesn't come from anywhere else. I have to go to his word. I have to be willing to yield, and I have to be willing to say, Lord, I want to see your fruit manifest in my life. I don't want any partiality with people, rich, poor, in between, whoever it is. I want to say the same thing. I want to apply your word in the same way to my life and to their life. Now, the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Are you a peacemaker? Are you a peacemaker? You are if you have on your tongue the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yesterday, I was speaking to a guy, and I could tell he was a little uptight about the coronavirus. I brought it up. I said, hey, man, the coronavirus is affecting us all, isn't it? And he says, oh, yeah. And I says, you know, there's something worse than the coronavirus, and that is lawlessness. And I went through the law with him, and his tongue had a rest. His tongue was stopped, and he had to acknowledge he was bound for hell. So I want to be sowing peace. I want to sow the gospel of peace. I want people to understand this is the most important issue you have to deal with unless you want to spend eternity in hell forever and ever and ever. So I want tongues of wisdom. Tongues of wisdom is helping someone come to grips with this issue of the eternity. Now, that is evangelism. That's proclaiming the good news. All right? That's not being a teacher. That's being an evangelist. Many people want to be a teacher, but they don't want to be an evangelist. So the next time you want to say to someone, boy, did I learn something. Let me teach you about this. Ask yourself, when's the last time I witnessed to somebody? When's the last time I allowed the wisdom of the gospel to go forward off of my tongue? Is your tongue empowered with godly wisdom and doing good? Is that what it's empowered by? Who is the man who desires life, Psalm 24, and loves many days that he may see good? Who is the man? Who is this man? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Seek the peace for those around you. That's found only in the gospel message. Does your tongue know the gospel message? Can it share the gospel message with others? You know, the disciples were following Jesus there in John chapter 6. And many people who had said, oh, we believe in you, Jesus, and we're following you, began to hear more of his teaching and started to leave him. Jesus turned to his disciples and he said, do you want to leave also? Peter chimed in right away. He said, Lord, where are we going to go? You are the one who has the words of eternal life. You're the one who has the words of eternal life. Do you want your tongue guiding your life in a constructive way, in a way that's going to build up your life? Then it is going to have to be a tongue filled with the wisdom of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, wanting to build up other people's lives. The minute you descend into a role that God has not called you to start teaching other people without communicating the gospel, you're going to have a major problem in your life. The tongue affects every human being on the face of the planet. Coronavirus doesn't. The tongue is not only going to affect people in the here and now. It's affecting people for eternity. For eternity. What is your tongue doing? Is it filled with the wisdom of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and affecting those around you for eternity? Don't miss the great, great opportunity of being filled and motivated with a tongue. This tongue, my tongue, that it'll be filled with wisdom. All right? Father, I ask that we as your church would have tongues of wisdom to bless everyone we are in touch with. And I thank you for this, Jesus, in your name. Amen.